Good morning.
Good morning. Welcome to the Breakfast Club. I might be taking bites in between because multitasking.
Yeah, welcome to the parlor with Lori and Lisa.
Ba-ba-ba.
How's it
What's
going?
up?
All kinds of stuff happening in the world. Craziness.
Yes, I saw that same article or that thing about that child being flashbanged. That was horrible in Ohio. Did it end up being like a the wrong house after all?
Yes, they were looking to apparently looking for a teenager that hadn't lived there for a long time, and they had told them. So it was an old warrant and a teenager that hadn't lived there for a very long time. I guess they had already attempted, or she had talked to them, and then they did that. I mean, that's out of control. We know they're out of control anyway.
Yes.
Come on.
And that
Yeah.
poor baby. And then there'd be lo and I don't think there's ever an apology or anything. I hope she gets some restitution for that.
Very rare that they, once in a while you'll see them go on, a press conference and apologize for whatever, but probably not. It's probably not going to happen. Like, oh, this is what happens. I mean, that poor baby could have died.
Yeah. Oh, it's the wrong house. Oh no.
Oh, sorry.
That
And
poor
the
baby.
baby already had, health issues as it is.
Yeah.
So
Oh, yeah. Oh, the audio.
it's awful. It's awful. Could
I
you imagine being
think if you would
mom?
want to hear it, it's only 2 minutes long of this news thing. I don't know if it'll come through, but y'all, I'm gonna put the link in the whatever. But
Yeah, try it.
you hear the screen and the video here. What they didn't see was this camera next door, and for this, Courtney Price is grateful.
Screen. I think I just says I'm scared. I said my baby's in here. He's on a ventilator.
Courtney is at Rainbow Babies and Children's Hospital with 17-month-old son Waylon, who was born premature and he has special needs. His crib at the home has a ventilator and oxygen. They were nearby as he sat in this rocker. This has smoke filled the home, and Courtney was handcuffed as she kept asking for her baby.
I remember seeing the flash and seeing the smoke come in. And you can see it on the ring footage too.
But here's where the confusion sets in. A warrant for a teen was issued for this home, but he hasn't lived here in over a year. The home is now rented by Rita and Marlon Jennings, Courtney's aunt and uncle, who have no relation to the suspect, but they raid the home anyway.
I walk in my house and I was just couldn't believe it. I don't like anything being on a kitchen table, so you can imagine everything piled on the floor. And just everything was overturned, the beds, the TVs, everything.
The child is now being treated for inflammation of the lungs, and his eyes also suffered irritation too. Price says doctors say the smoke affected the child, and she's only in the area because her baby needs heart surgery, and Oh,
now
God.
that has been delayed.
We came here for a fresh start, and now I feel so unsafe here. I'm just trying to tough it out and stay for better care, but I just did not like being here now. It's really hard.
Elyria's mayor sent out a statement saying the incident is being investigated and they will release police body cameras. As for Jennings, she only wishes police would have done their homework before crashing into her home, where her nephew is already fighting for his life.
I feel like a little bit of detective work probably would have gone a long way.
Oh,
Because
God,
I
a
did a little
little bit.
research and I found the previous tenants in about 6 seconds.
Oh my God, that is so awful. Oh my God.
And happens all the time,
Yes.
nobody died and you weren't this like Breonna Taylor, Breonna
Oh
Taylor,
yes. Mm-hmm.
getting things wrong, getting things like she said, a little bit, just a little.
Teeny
Oh,
tiny.
yeah, we have the wrong.
How about visual, like a visual on the guy? And look at how many people came in. Like 20 people were rushing in. Like, come on.
Deep. They
For
were rolling.
one guy, 20 people rushing in. They couldn't wait outside for him to leave to go, score his drugs or whatever he's up for. I mean, whatever.
Here's
Like,
a warrant. Can we look through your home, see if he's here? He's not there. Okay, but to do, have you had a visual on him? Were you sitting doing surveillance? You never saw him come or go because he doesn't live there anymore. So what was your, like, you just had nothing.
It's the militarization of the police, and the endless amounts of, okay, and here's the other thing. Imagine if we actually spent more money on treating the causes of crime instead of putting it into the militarization of police, and we maybe created better hospitals so this poor woman doesn't have to travel all over the goddamn creation so she could find her kid better health care. Like, she doesn't have to stress herself and her kid out by moving to a better place to try to get health care. Like, health care should be accessible and available for all, an equity situation here. Like, that whole thing had so many different messes in it, like, you could just point to it, like inadequate health care for the most vulnerable, housing. This woman didn't have a house, so she had to live with her aunt and uncle. She couldn't just make that transition to go and have her, the McDonald's houses ain't gonna, like, is not gonna be able to handle what's coming for this earth when the freaking elderly people live till they're, we have aging population that is just gonna be taking up all the healthcare system because people are living longer and healthier and in place. So that's why we don't have a lot of housing. There's all kinds of systemic problems here.
And we spend our money on military people who sell to the military make money. War makes money. That's why we had to, it's having to happen again. We had, somebody had to make money. It's all like Mother Jones.
Oh, yes, Mother Joan.
American oligarchy. It is an excellent issue. The whole, I thought it was an article. It's actually the whole issue is about it, and it's just, I mean, I can't even. Oh, a Hawaiian island, 300 million. Larry Ellison's reported purchase price for 98% of Lanai. I
Okay.
mean, there's a ton of good info. I couldn't even begin to. I mean, I thought there was going to be like a little bit to read about it, but there's just, it's like if anybody can get a hold of this and look it up, read this issue. I mean, it just like 8 ways to hide an asset, how the elite keep the riches out of the out of reach. It tells like who pays what for what. They break down like super yachts from like the 1800s all the way till now. I mean, oh, it's just it really is eye-opening. I mean, things that you and I know or kind of have little ideas of, but most people do not. And it's like mind-boggling, mind-boggling. Like they talk about how like how America's tax gap favors the rich. So it'll be like in 2019, $581 billion in federal tax revenues went unpaid, mostly because the highest earning 10% of families underreported their income. And then from 2000, between 2014 and 18, the net worth of the 25 richest Americans increased by $401 billion, but they paid less than 3.5% of that amount in federal income taxes. But also, 2.9 times minimum estimated rate at which Black taxpayers are audited relative to all others. 2.3 times the odds of an audit for a low income earned income credit filers versus people whose income fell between 500,000 million. So lower income people get audited way more often. I
Yeah.
mean,
Well, we
oh.
you remember there was this girl that I worked with at one of the salons. And she was really busy all the time, like just earning, and she got audited and she was raked over the coals. It caused her so much stress. I think she had a miscarriage in the middle of it. Like, it was so stressful for, and she was a person of color, of course. And, it was just like, it was so terrible.
I worked with a gal here, and I she wasn't she hadn't been audited when I worked with her, but she'd hairstylist. She had been audited three times. Three
Yeah.
times.
They go after the cash people because they think that that's where they're going to make a bunch of money and find, they're not doing it right or something,
Well, and how much can a cash person be hiding? As like this, billionaires are hiding way more cash than any other person. I mean, oh, part of this also, the philanthropy in America is broken and we're all paying the price. That is a good, oh, it talks about Who gives? Like, what gives? Since 2010, some 241 of the world's richest people and couples have committed to giving away at least half of their fortunes. The giving pledge starts with a simple premise. Collective giving, in the words of co-founder Bill Gates, can help the world become a better place. You be the judge. And it breaks down like Elon Musk, wealth at signing 2012 when he signed that pledge. Wealth now, it was 2 billion. His wealth now, 231 billion. So, all their stuff went up. Well, it's, and the other one that I think, so woke capitalism has become a right-wing obsession thanks to Vivek Ramaswamy and some arch conservative billionaires. That one's really good. I mean, this whole thing is good. If anybody has a chance to, it's a really good map.
Push it up to your thing real quick a little bit more because I can't and move it up. Yeah, there you go. Okay, great. Thank you.
And the month four was a really good one about water. We're squandering the water supply of 40 million Americans. And that was a really good issue from November, December. And another one, okay, when I start September, October was swipe right. Why won't big techs protect us from dating predators? That's a very scary. I wouldn't read that if you know somebody that's using that. But if you're intending on using dating sites, then you should probably read it. It's real. One more thing, I'm reading this.
Stamped from the beginning, yes.
And it's a deep and often disturbing chronicling of how anti-Black thinking has entrenched itself in the fabric of American society, not solely through ignorance, but through a rationalization of inequity in institutional practices. Yeah.
Yeah, cool. I heard that we need to be buying books, reminder to, for people to buy books from their local bookstores or Black-owned bookstores. That'd be really great. Support Black and people of colors bookshops. So
Yes.
yeah, and I also when I get a moment, I'm gonna read and I'm gonna bring you a copy. Don't Let Them Bury My Story. This is about one of the last survivors of the Tulsa race massacre that happened with the I think it was called Black Wall Street back then. And you know, so and I got this book from the bookstore that is actually on that street. So, you know, like wherever you can to support bookstores, that would be great. Or even your public libraries, you know, we need our public libraries to be supported as well. And so get your library cards and go read a book.
Yeah, I wonder if my daughter actually bought me this for Christmas.
Oh, great. Oh, how nice.
Cool. And so we give each other books, and she does the library a lot. And through COVID, I did buy, I need to find the name of, I did buy online Black-owned bookstores, and I believe one was in Canada though. But definitely the library is somewhere you can really, and you can also get audiobooks from the library through different apps.
Yes, because here's the thing, books are accessible, you know, and it's and libraries are one of the few things that are left that are equity, you know, that it's an equity driven social sa I don't know, safety net. It is kind of a safety net at this point because the libraries are you know, unfortunately used for to like help people who are dying from fentanyl. I mean, you know, that they're teaching like at least here in the Bay Area. That's my friend was in it worked for a public library and that's what she's like, I can't even believe I'm not always using my master's degree. I'm here because people come in there for shelter. They're strung out. They have issues. You know, it's a public space. They're getting out of the rain. It's cold. The system is so broken. I mean, every stitch of the way, it's just broken, broken, broken. Anyway.
Billionaires and the, but we just want to warmong, and we, ugh, we just spend that money on that when we could spend the money here. I don't know. I'm just never for war, just never.
Yes, I'm with you on that one. Oh gosh, heavy right off the bat, but we have, you know, we ain't keeping shit light here all the time.
No.
I mean, we just kind of, I don't know, Lori. I feel like, you know, this is what our thing is. Like, you know, everything is like ha, lols all the time, but really there's like so much shit going on in the world that it overwhelms and bogs the mind. I do want to share One thing, it's something a little bit more reflective. I went to the Martin Luther King Jr. Event here in Piedmont, which is always kind of a, I don't know, little on the performative side of things. You know, here's this like, anyway, I shouldn't be so they're making efforts, and I understand where they're coming from. They're trying, you know, like whatever, but the city has a ton of intense racism. It's literally talked about now. Finally, we're finally honoring the people, first black family, I believe, that was run out of town. They're finally getting a memorial for them and recognition for the fact that that's what happened to them. But it's just is not stopping. It's the racism, it's the anti-Semitism, it's anti this. For a long time, it was a lot of anti-Asian sentiment. You know, white people think they should be the only ones going to Ivy League colleges, evidently. But so I hope if anybody in Piedmont hears this, I'm probably going to have like a cross burned on my front porch. No, I'm kidding. You
Well,
know, or something.
I think that my client and I yesterday, she was, I think she meant well when she said this. She said, "Oh, I just really wish like at some point we'd all be like mixed, because we're talking about biracial children and this and that, and we could get into that but later, but another time." And she said, "If everybody would just intermingle, then we'd all kind of look the same, this and that." And then as I was like, I don't know." And then later she's like, "You know what? One thing about me," she goes, "I did catch myself and realize that that really deludes saying, oh, black people need to be mixed with and not to, so we can all look like that's taking away from, you know, people being the color and who they are to say like, oh, I want everybody to be mixed with me so I can feel better, you know, that."
They want a homogenous world so they can feel okay about who they are in the world,
Yeah.
maybe.
And she really didn't mean that, because she definitely is on our, like, she thinks more like us. But I think she caught herself and said, "Oh my God,
Yeah.
there's that way of thinking." That she said, "I just really wanted everybody to feel." I said, "But then there would still be that somebody's a little to this and somebody's a little to that, and like if we would just accept everybody how they are." But I don't know that humans are capable, because we're horrible.
Yeah, well, and it's like and everybody around me gets mad when I say everybody's race, you know, all white people are racist, because unless you're actively fighting to break down the systems that keep racism alive, you're racist, you know, like there's no getting around it, you know, unless you are actively fucking doing shit to undo the harms that were done.
And teach each other, and you, it's so ingrained, you know, it's so bred into most of us white people that it's like to unravel it. And a lot of us want to stick our heads in the sand. I don't want to hear any bad stuff. I don't want to see what you're posting because I can't deal with it. And, you know, I guess that's your prerogative, but you are perpetuating it. Like, we need, it isn't up to other race, it's up to white people to teach each other. Like, we can't be like, oh, black people need to teach me how to. No, we have to share it and call each other out.
Well, we also have to make the point of we need to stop asking black people, especially black women, to do the work for us.
I feel like, I always think like black women are the future, the wave, like they should run the, but then I feel like I don't want to put that, like, oh my gosh, on their shoulders. They're already, like, one of my clients said something about on one of the housewife shows, one of the women on there, a black woman, she said, "Don't call me angry." She was calling another one out. I don't know if you saw this episode. And she said, "Oh, that's kind of weird how she," and I said, "Listen, because what do you say?" Like, she's even said herself as a white woman, angry black woman, or the woman was loud, or her hair. I said, "You can't wear your hair a certain way. You, if you speak too loud, you're angry. If you're that, like, why, what about you? Like, you can wear your hair however you want. I can. We can get mad. We don't get, like, you know, now, of course, people are called Karens, but before it's like you're always put on that." You know, so I was trying to teach her like why she felt that way, and she didn't want this person to say that. She, the other gal said, "Oh, you're attacking me." And she said, I feel that really bothers me that you're saying I'm attacking you because of the ramifications of that. And so then my client was like, oh, okay. Like, I think she understood it, you know, as much as I could explain it being a white woman, just from my, but we need to educate each other. Each white women have to educate each other when we hear them say those microaggressions, like, nope. This is how I think it is, and you can do, you know. But I think she kind of got it, but she was like,
Yeah,
oh.
people are waking up slowly. To speak about that, just the waking up slowly. Actually, the Martin Luther King here, the thing that we had here was called Remain Awake, but I swear to God, everybody was asleep in the crowd. Anyway, I'm posting all these this information, but the keynote speaker of the event, in addition to Karina Gould of the Segurité Land Trust, who is they brought her in to remind people that we're on Ohlone land, and she gave an opening remarks about that. And then the mayor spoke, and then Dr. Amber Johnson, Assistant Vice Chancellor and Chief of Staff in the Division for Equity and Inclusion at UC Berkeley. She blew my mind. This queen blew my mind, or not queen. Anyway, they blew my mind. Sorry. See, even I'm still learning. I have to remind myself, like I don't get it right. And oh, Lori, where'd you go? Hello. Oh, you left. Okay. Well, I'm gonna keep rolling. Yes. So, Amber Johnson, Dr. Amber Johnson, came in and taught the people of Piedmont a little bit, a very small bit about what she teaches in her work. They teach in their work about social injustice. There's levels of it. I'm going to share the screen and just kind of it. I'm not going to do it justice, but I'm just going to show you what I learned and how to look at things. And so there is the social injustice that, oh, what is going on with my screen? Oh, there I am. There's the macro level, the meso, and the micro. They explained all those different and the ramifications of it, the physical violence, the discursive violence, the legislative violence, and economic violence. There, and then what comes out of the different levels of the aggressions, the macro, meso, and micro, the ramifications, and what comes out of it is systemic, structural, institutional, interpersonal, and intrapersonal isms such as transphobia, racism, homophobia, any of those, Islamophobia. So that was just one part. I'm not sure where Lori is. I think her. Okay. Oh no. Okay. Try on phone. Okay. I'm still going. Okay, I could stop. Should I stop? Start over. Okay, I think I might have to stop. Okay, I'm gonna keep going. Okay, and the next part that they talked about is about raising harmony. And I'm going to share the screen on that as well, because that was an acronym that they used to talk about humility, autonomy, agency and action, respect, mindfulness, open dialogue, navigating tragedy, and you first, courageous compassion, and raising harmony in the world. I love that. That was so great. And then they talked about reimagining communal definitions and processes. And I thought this was really powerful as well. And that you could pause to read this in the YouTube. Reimagine communal definitions and processes is IDEA, IDEA. Inclusion must be radical. Diversity can no longer be a dirty word. It must be nuanced and spread across every sector. E is for equity. is defined as the state of being where one's identity can no longer predict life outcomes and outcomes for all groups are improved. Equity can no longer be about outcomes, but rather about process, and it must be humanized. And I believe they talked about that as, you know, when you have a dinner party and you have a bunch of people come, and maybe there's people who have allergies and there's people who are allergic to fish and or vegan or whatever, but you're just going to serve meat and potatoes and blah, blah, blah. You're just going to serve what you're going to serve. Well, that's not equity. When you're inviting people to the table to a feast or discuss issues, then you are inviting everybody in, and they should be, you should be either offering the food that everyone can eat, or everybody should bring their food that they can eat as well. And then they talked about accessibility must be universal. When everybody has access, everybody has benefits. Hi, what happened?
Yeah. Froze.
Scrolling.
You just froze talking, so I don't know. And then I couldn't get back.
Yeah, the world is wonky. They're trying to stop us, Lori. And I'm just going to wrap up just real quick with the last thing I was just kind of on a roll about. And let me just show the last screen of this, and then... this was the Dr. Amber Johnson's.
Oh, okay.
So I have the I'll show you again the what their slides were. So futurity projects that they have, and the podcast, the Critical Future book series and podcast. So the podcast is Critical Futures, and it's a little bit like Octavia Butler. It's about it's also they talk about transfuturism. And it's amazing. And there's art and all kinds of things. And they also have the Justice Fleet, which is a mobile museum that talks about all the things that they are doing. Anyway, that this is their projects that they are working on. And
awesome.
I apologize for getting the pronouns wrong. I was, you know, the brain switching. So anyway,
as long as you try.
Working on that hard, but yeah, I love them. They were so good and so beautiful, and the podcast is amazing so far.
And share the name of the podcast again. I know
the name of the podcast is Critical Futures. I'll send it to you. It's on like the regular podcast, the Apple.
Oh, here we go. I wrote it. I thought I wrote it down.
Yeah, I'll pop it into your. Into your our chat messages. But yeah, that was real cool. And then I just real quick, I think that's it, but I think that was it. And then there was the Oakland Youth Course, and they were amazing. Yeah, it was a really lovely event. I used to go to it. I used to help plan it a long time ago, and then I don't know, I just kind of, you know, COVID came and I would go to the online ones. And my really good friend Lois Corwin, she is the founder of it, and it's always wonderful to see her almost 30 years of doing it. And here in Piedmont, you know, like 30 years of highlighting this is amazing.
Lisa, I love and admire how you get involved in so many things. And a lot of us should do more of that. Maybe someday I'll have more time.
I mean, honestly,
time is the point.
Yeah, yeah. The other thing I reminded myself, Lori, is that our friend Terry is the one who inspired us. You know, remember when we used to go and sit and answer phones at KQ at the local radio?
I forgot about all the things that she's such a giver. Oh my God.
But I just remember what she said, you know, and everybody does what they can, you know, like in their measure, you know?
Yeah. Secretly, not secretly. I mean, however, you don't have to. You could do it outwardly. You don't have to broadcast it. You could do however you give, you know, or
you're just there for people too. Like, I feel like in our work that we do, you know, we're not just sitting there massaging bodies and doing hair. We are like taking on people's shit a lot of times, and it's physically demanding, and also processing people's things with them. I mean, I'm just assuming because I figure it's similar. And some people aren't, they just want to go to sleep and they want quiet, which is fine too. You know,
mine talk nonstop. They'll be like, you know, can I just have a quiet appointment? I'm like, yeah.
It means you quiet.
Yeah. Yeah, good, because I can just keep working or I learn things. You know, I've been asking questions about, you know, there's people that can come on and like give us some, but I've learned a lot just by letting people talk. And it's hard to just, because at some point you have to ask questions, you know, and but it is interesting because it is mental too, because it
Yeah, so
is.
what, tell me about this quiet appointment concept, because I think that is a fairly new idea.
It is in being called that, but I've had clients for years say, you know, I just don't, I'm not going to talk, I'm going to read my book. So they would bring a book, and that's when I knew they wanted the quiet appointment. Now it's a thing to, you can even like mark it on the, like if you have a online booking, you can mark that. So I think that people talk so much and they're on social media and they're this and they're that or whatever, that they just want to be quiet. Or they want to be quiet and not talk to you and be on their social media. They want to be on their phone and you not talking to them. So it could be different reasons. I still have people that bring books, and for the most part, they don't read that book the whole time anymore. They end up talking, to tell you the truth. But they will read it while they process or whatever. If I walk out, if I stay in the room, they'll talk to me. So
Do
very
you think
rare.
it's because they feel like obligated to, or is it kind of like it just,
They
I mean,
want.
like I don't know. I like even when I, well, like when I go get massages, it's a little different. I like I have no problem. I don't go to anybody who's personal to me. So it's, you know, it's easy to kind of like check out. But then it, there's no feedback loop, you know, like I just have to take the massage they give. You know, it's not like, oh, that feels really good. Can you work there? You know, or like, well, like you, how you do with the girls. It's like, well, do you want, you know, you, there's a feedback when you're doing your hair, you're styling. I mean, I don't know. I guess I just, you like, do they just tell you from the beginning? And then it's like, what if you
Yeah.
say something like, can I ask you a question? Like, do you have to kind of it pop their bubble a little to talk to them?
Yeah, they're never really that. They say they want a quiet appointment, but they actually really don't. Yesterday, I had a new client though, and she was really quiet, but she's a nurse, and I know she works like those really crazy hours. And she was kind of like falling asleep, but I was like, I wonder if she doesn't like it, if she does, whatever. And then I had not asked her. I said, do you part it in the middle? So when I blow dried it and I did the bangs, I did the middle. And then she's like, oh, can I put it to the side? And there was a little bit of a language barrier. And I was like, oh my gosh, I'm so sorry. I didn't ask her, do you style it in the middle? So then I was trying to go back. But at the end, she's like, she said she usually goes back out of the country to get her hair done because the last time somebody did it was uneven. I was like, oh my God, the pressure now. And then she's like, always want you to do my hair and this and that, but I didn't stop because she was so relaxed and ask her about the blow drying, the side. So that I was trying to, so that's like a little, yeah, you do have to kind of reach in, but if they're so relaxed, sometimes you just want to keep working and just keep it going, like not bother them. So it's very rare. That was one of the few like quiet that people really asked. She didn't say she wanted a quiet appointment, but she did.
Got quiet.
Got quiet. So usually, I don't know if I have to ask something, I'll ask it. Unless they close their eyes. Some people sleep
I've
through.
fallen asleep with you before. Like along, I think when I first had a kid, I think it was something like we, when you were with Terry over by Yoshino's, I think there was a
Oh,
moment I fell asleep. I was so tired with the baby. I was just like,
yeah. Baby. That's her. She has a 1-year-old. She's a nurse. You know, she's a wife, and she has all these other things, and so she was just like, oh, I'm so tired. And I go, just go to sleep, I'll wake you up later. So, and then you have the people that won't stop talking or moving, and I'm like, it makes it 100 times harder because I'm like trying to, you know, put bleach on somebody's hair when they move. I'll tell them, if I miss and it goes onto your scalp, you're gonna have leopard spots that I don't have time to fix. So you
oh,
need to be still. Or I like have to, and I'm pretty light-handed for the most part. I can be heavy, but I'll have to pull the hair with the foil, and they're like, "Ow!" I'm like, "I'm sorry, but you can't. If you move, every time I go to swipe that and you move, I can't paint a move. Like imagine a canvas moving around, and you're trying to, like
yeah, right.
I can't. So I don't mind people actually talking if they don't move there. And I know I'm a very bad client. I don't even really go get anything done because I move around. Can you tell that I've been moving this whole time I've been talking? That's what I'd be doing while I'd be getting my hair done. So I have empathy for it, but it's tough. So I don't mind you talking. It's the moving. So yeah, anyway, whatever, I went off on tangents there, but
Oh, no, that's cool. It's that a peek into your salon.
yeah, so hopefully, like as spring goes on and we get the new things going, we'll take a bigger peek in there on the new stuff, which we
Oh
want to.
yeah. How is the process of getting that next arm of your business going?
Well, it'd be nice if they sent me a bill so that I could come and get inspected. You see why people do what they do. I wouldn't do something under the table, but I see why. Like, if this was my only way to make money and I'm waiting on the county to acknowledge receiving my paperwork and letting me know the next thing to do. Oh yeah, by the way, we did get it. And here's what you could have told me that 3 weeks ago or whatever. Like, it's just more than I thought it would be. I'm very shocked, and I will someday teach classes and help people navigate through this.
Yeah, definitely. Oh my gosh. You know, that was I'm going to just pivot real quick and not talk about the candidate race that I'm working on. But to speak to that about the systems that aren't functioning and the entry for people to get into whether it's the business or and even my husband talks about this with how difficult all of a sudden every city's systems are they think they've made things easier, but they're not. They really need like somebody who to go in there and fix things so that everything is more streamlined and easier, so business can thrive, so they can grow and be innovative and like this hoop jumping is crazy. But to run for office, like because I've been with her since the beginning, has been a nightmare. Like just all the fucking papers and the this and the that and. Like trying to find the exact spots where you're supposed to do everything, you really have to be like a high level thinker. Like the average person couldn't enter and put their platform up very easily. You know, some people did, and that's cool. The MAGA guy is a trip. And it's not cheap. It's not cheap. There's an entry fee to this shit, you know?
And I don't really like that. I know we said, it could be good, could be bad. I don't understand. See, money just, I'm not mad at money. We need it. It helps our, I mean, in a way I am. Like, I think I sent something to you. We'll talk about it later, how it's weird that we created money and that's how we, somebody can eat and somebody can't. But we'll go, that's for another show. But why do you have to have so much money to run for office? Like, you could be a
Right.
great.
Well, yeah, because they want to elevate, you know, there's a certain power structures that want to elevate those things so that they can keep certain systems going, right? I mean, that's what happens. Yeah, and what happens are like my friends, the laundry ladies, who get like they just fell through the cracks and evidently, there was some little we're still investigating, but evidently, there's this whole system of when you're that indigent, there's these intermediary social worker types who come in. And this is what happened to Jeannie. I remember this. Remember when she got pulled out to another state, another city, because the social worker said, I can have you here. They actually make those private companies actually make money having people to have to work for. They take on the task of these people. So they get paid from the government. These contractors, because the government doesn't run its own social services anymore, I guess. I'm not sure how that works. But evidently, they could have checked one little box that made them get about four or five, we're looking into it, possibly $400 or $500 more per month, which is not going to save their ass, but it'll give them a little bit more. One of them is completely disabled now. They're both disabled, but they're only getting one income. They're living off of one person's income, and they are out of money this week. And it's kind of amazing that it's gotten to this bad. And the private pay social workers don't want to lose them to the SSI because that's federal government. They're looking at local. And I'm like, are you kidding me? Just one little what all they need is a doctor to say they're both disabled and they would both get a bunch of money. Potentially, and they're not.
Do that all the time. I have clients that I know personally would not, should not, I don't feel. And I had a relative who was on permanent disability for what? And supposedly scoliosis, and she did like barrel racing and did all these horsey things. And the point being, like, how sad that you live or die for how much money you have. You're a vagrant because you don't have money. You will starve to death. Your kids will starve to death. You're thought of a certain way because you don't have money. And I know homelessness has to be making people. I was talking to one of my clients about that. He used to work in the mental health field, and he said the healthcare industry makes money off of people being unhoused because there's no way all these billionaires who complain about, and everybody else is like, this is horrible. People are living on the streets. It's ruining our cities. You have the money to fix or partially fix or whatever this, it's making somebody money, or it wouldn't be allowed to continue. It is. And what you're saying there, somebody's getting paid. You know, companies are getting paid. This branch of this is getting paid because we're supposed to be helping, but we're not really. We just have more. And we're going to have more unless rents stabilize and come down and wages go up and there's more jobs. I don't know. Oh my God. How do you, you're a nobody because you don't have any money and you can't find a job and you're this and people just, but we're mad at the wrong people. We're not mad at the oligarchs. We're mad at poor
Well,
people.
we elevate them too. We continue to, like, elect people into office who hold their little, oh, the tax breaks, and well, we can't possibly deal with this because they're the job creators. Well, guess what? Do you know how many freaking jobs we're losing in the Bay Area? C companies are closing. N nobody's buying anything. People are, I don't know. I'm kind of for this, like, shut it down. Like, stop all the freaking, from a planet environment point of view, we need to slow our roll on, like, all the things. Are you seeing some of these things? Like, have you looked at Maine? Just look up Maine 2024 floods. Freaking ice cold water is, like, washing out houses. I mean, I think frozen water is worse than, like, I mean, it's bad, but it's like they live on the ocean. They're like, Lulu, and suddenly it's like 14-foot high waves knocking out million-dollar view homes. And they're not used to that. Like, California, we're kind of like, yeah, don't build too close. We kind of have seen this happen over time. But now
Ours bad. Ours are like, wow, look at what, but it is happening places they're not used to, but it's going to keep happening, like what you're
yes.
saying.
Yes, and this is it. And what they said, they had flowers in Antarctica. They had flowers blooming in Antarctica. We're fucked. You need the balance of the cold, because then we're gonna have, like, all these seasons of just massive weather storms and or drought. The drought is the worst. I mean, I don't know. Do we want floods? Or do we want drought? I mean, we're getting both. It's crazy. And we're gonna have people climate refugees are already happening. This is all
Yes.
what it's about. I bet Mother Jones talked about that. Yes.
This one is about that. That's Mother Jones. It's, you know, squandering the water supply of 40 million Americans to grow more. And it says dot dot dot. Hey,
Yeah,
you
that's Arizona. Fuck. They just
know.
gave it to Saudi Arabia so they can feed their cattle.
I
Cattle
think they
are
put
worse.
a
My husband's making us go vegan again. I'm like, oh God, okay.
on that. They stopped them from, if I'm not wrong, they put some kind of moratorium or something. They stopped them from being able to buy the land, or they took it back or something like that. We'll have to look it up and see
Yeah,
in Arizona.
they did stop it because the governor is they got a Democratic governor there, but it doesn't there that place is, like, purple at best. Any minute people could fall asleep again and not vote, and or these freaking people who get in and then flip. Like, they're, who the heck knows is going in there,
Flipped
24.
right now. Somebody said they flipped, the state flipped from, I just saw it and I thought I sent it to you.
Was it Arizona?
No, shoot, I don't know, I'll have to find it. But it said, I said, oh my gosh, it said flipped from, oh, I know it was, it can't be Florida. I don't know, we will have to look it up and talk about it later.
Oh, well,
Something.
that's gonna heat up after March or so. After all the primaries, it's gonna freaking heat up in this country. everywhere. It's going to be so exciting this year.
I can't do Donald Trump again. I don't know what to do, but I'm planning on Spain.
Iowa was a very good indicator that people are not active. They're kind of like they're the numbers were so small, like not very threatening. You know, when you think about it, like who showed up to vote for something like that? Otherwise, other than they probably were like, oh, we know Donald Trump, so whoever is going to brave the ice and cold to go out and do this anyway.
I don't know. I just can't. I'm like, come on. And then Biden, he's just doing some, oh my God. And then people are just going to vote for whoever, which will take a vote away. I don't know. I don't know. My little heart
Well, if
can't
he
take.
even gets across that line, I mean, it's just like it's so the Democratic Party has its own gridlock problems. We see it everywhere. Like the idea that I'd wait the new ways of doing things, even in the progressive Bay Area, it's crazy. We'll have to get into a whole other show about this race that I'm, you know, kind of got a like front seat view, not from my candidate's point of view, but just me personally, even if I wasn't working on a campaign, I'd be interested because there's nine people running for a spot that hasn't been open for 30 years, and it is going to heat up in the next month or so if it isn't already. Although I haven't seen any yard signs, like zero yard signs. I think everybody's in their camp, and I think they're probably either thinking, "Oh, I got this," or they're going to start going hard next month because I have nothing. Yeah, it's gonna be fun. It's gonna be fun. I know you
No,
gotta go. Looks like our time is up. I'm sorry. Do you have something or what?
I just want I should pay more attention to my local stuff. So next time I'm going to figure out who's running for who and what and all that, because I have to say I do this because I know I'm
Yes,
just so,
yeah.
what's going on here? And
Yeah.
we knew that might run, then they didn't, and that really kind of made me feel so I need to step it up and figure out what's going on here too. But okay, I was
Are you going to
what
do that? Does it do that here?
I don't know this it was doing it from here, like I don't know what
Go up a little bit. I think it's like here when you do it, when you wave it. I don't remember. Maybe come closer to you by your face. There it
so close to the face.
is. Does it do mine? I don't think it does mine. It does yours.
Oh, you probably have to check it on your
Oh, no.
anyway.
Anyway,
Okay, goodbye. Thank you
bye.
for
Have a great day.
bye.